Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
How about now? All right, there we go. There it is. All right. Let me try that again. How's everybody doing this morning? Good, 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 good. So I promised Pastor that I'd be about 20 minutes or so. So I'm going to go ahead and set my timer now. So you can mark on Facebook later. I made it out alive from Pastor Trevor's sermon not being an hour and a half. Before I get started, I would first like to just thank everyone for all their love that they've given to me and my family ever since we stepped foot in the doors here of this church. We could just feel your welcoming spirit and just your loving spirit toward us. Also, I'd like to thank Pastor Aaron and Amy and the board for just letting us come in and be a part of staff, and then also letting us take over the kids department. I've learned a lot since I've been here, and it's been a blessing being able to be entrusted with little souls. I've always had a mindset of that there's no mini Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that wants to live in adults is the same Holy Spirit that wants to live and move in our kids. And we need Him in our kids more now than ever. From what they have to deal with and experience that no adult should have to experience, and our kids have to experience adult decisions even now as 4, 5, 6 year olds. I just pray that God continues to open doors for you in this community, and it's still within my heart that God's going to do something for you this year that you don't expect, that God's going to continue to move through Anniston, and He's going to do it first here in Calvary Temple. Amen. So, for what I really wanted to talk to you guys today is mainly that God has good plans. And when you hear that, the key points that I want to make that God indeed does have a plan for you and for the earth. He's not just sitting up there randomly just kind of reacting to the things that happen. He's both in the past, the present, and the future, all encompassing all at once. Number two is that God has good plans for you, believe it or not. I mean, I might not believe that a lot of times, but not only does God have a plan, but He has good plans for you as well. And then lastly, it is up to me and you to walk out those plans that God has in our lives. I'll be reading from different parts of Scripture today. I won't have any notes on screen, so you'll have to follow along with me. In Scripture, I'll be mainly reading through Isaiah 37, and don't worry, Isaiah, there is a lot in Isaiah 37. I don't plan on reading all of it, mainly just pulling out different parts of Scripture and summarizing a lot of it, so that way we're not having to sit here and go through all, 40 verses of chapter 37. So if you will, just hang out with me, and we're going to get this thing going. Before I get to reading, begin reading God's word, if you will, just bow your heads and close your eyes as we just ask God to have His way in the rest of the service. Dear God, we just want to thank You so much for everything that You're doing. God, I believe right now, God, in this moment, what I feel right now is trust. The word for right now is trust. God, we need to learn to trust You again. To trust that, God, that You're not just up in heaven, but God, You're up in heaven actively trying to get a hold of my heart and Your plan and the destiny that You have for us. God, You indeed love us. And God, we just pray right now, God, for just a peace in the room, that God, that whatever's going on in life, that God, You're going to take care of it. And God, we can learn again to put our trust in You. Amen. So I want to begin reading the first 5 or 6 verses of chapter 37. So if you will, find Isaiah chapter 37. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6 to begin, and then I'll jump from there and let you know how it's going. So I'm going to give you some time to get there if you're not there already. All right, let's dive into God's Word together. Isaiah chapter 37, and I'll be reading from the NLT. Again, Isaiah chapter 37, verses 1 through 6 say this. When King Hezekiah heard the report, he tore his clothes and put on burlap and went into the temple of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and the leading priest, all dressed in burlap, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. They told him, This is what King Hezekiah says. Today is a day of trouble, insults, and disgrace. It is like when a child ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver the baby. But perhaps the Lord your God has heard the Assyrian chief of staff sent by the king to defy the living God, and will punish him for his words. Oh, pray for those who are left. Verse 5. After King Hezekiah's officials delivered the king's message to Isaiah, the prophet replied, "Say to your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be disturbed by the blasphemous speech against me from the Assyrian king's message." I'm actually going to continue in the verse 7 here. So verse 7 says, "Listen, I myself will move against him, and the king will receive a message that he is needed at home. So he will return to the land where I will have him, and he will be killed by the sword." So what's interesting here, so to give some context clues from verse from a chapter before in Isaiah 36, we see that the king of Assyria and his armies have taken over the fortified cities of Judea. So before all this, before we see in chapter 37 King Hezekiah being in so much distress that he sends some of his officials to Isaiah, this is what's happening right now, is that the king of Assyria is already went through Judah and he's making his way to Jerusalem. And chapter 36 in Isaiah basically describes the field general of the Assyrian army basically sending a letter to King Hezekiah and saying, "Hey, I don't know what's going on, but you need to let your men know that we're coming and that we're going to take over Jerusalem. You can try trusting in Egypt. You can try trusting in your God, but I don't." But he basically says it doesn't matter. We're coming in. We're taking over, and you better just prepare for the war that's coming to you now. And then obviously we see here that King Hezekiah goes before the Lord and also seeks the prophet of the Lord for his help. So we're also going to pick up now in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 14. So again, I'm going to be popping in and out of different verses of Isaiah 37. So just follow along with me now in verse 14. So after Hezekiah received the letter from the messages and read it, verse 14. After Hezekiah received the letter from the messages and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord of heaven's armies, God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all of kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen to me. Open your eyes, O Lord, and listen. Listen to the words of the defiance that this guy has done against the living God. We're also going to skip over to verse 21 now. So, and this is where Isaiah predicts Judah's deliverance. So now we're in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 21. Then Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent the message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord of God of Israel says. Because you prayed about the king of Assyria, the Lord has spoken this word against him. So the virgin daughter of Zion despises you and laughs at you. The daughter of Jerusalem shakes her head in derision as you flee. Whom have you been defying and ridiculing against? Whom did you raise your voice? And at whom did you look with such haughty eyes? It was the Holy God of Israel. So what we see here between King Hezekiah going in and out of receiving messages from the king of Assyria and the field general of the king and the armies of Assyria. We see back and forth God continuing to reassure the king Hezekiah of Jerusalem that he's going to take care of it. And what's interesting that we see in verse 21 that I want to point out to you today is that this is what the Lord God of Israel says. Because the king of Jerusalem was a godly king, and he decided in that moment not to react, but choose to seek the face of the Lord, God in that moment said, okay, I'm going to take care of this issue for you now. So my first point that I want to make to you today is that God has good plans. We see later, and you can go read Isaiah 36 and 37 later. But later we see in Isaiah chapter 37 that the God of heaven takes care of the army of Assyria. So later we see that the angel of the Lord went out simply and powerfully. God destroys 185,000 of that army and basically just wipes them all out without any army having to raise a sword against them. So it's hard to believe sometimes that God has a plan with what's going on in the world and in our lives. God is not just in control of all the earth and everything that's going on, but he also has invested interest in each and every single one of our lives. Let me put it into perspective with this verse from Scripture. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I constructed you to myself and as my own. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This verse brings perspective that God, when he thinks of me and he thinks of you, he smiles. Before I could even understand who he was, God wanted my heart. Whenever I think about this verse, it always reminds me of my son. Before this little guy even can understand what dad was, I wanted to meet him. I wanted to see his face. I wanted to see his smile. And I wanted to hear his voice. This is what the God of heaven thinks of you. Before I could even understand what God was or even comprehend that he loved me so much, God had a plan for me. The God of the Bible is a God of purpose, and not just general purposes, but specific ones. He is the supreme long-term strategic planner of the universe. He does nothing in random or haphazard manner, and his purposes extend from eternity's past to eternity's future, encompassing not only the ultimate destiny of his creation, but also our personal lives as well. Whether we see it or not, whether we understand it or not, God has indeed a plan. And this plan is like a seed for growth in due season. God has good plans. So now that we understand that, let's also come to the understanding that God has good plans. So not only do we understand that God does have a plan, we must understand that they are good and for our benefit. Like rain, for instance. I remember listening to the story of a missionary. I don't know if you've ever heard me tell this story before, but as he was sitting, just giving his sermon and stuff, he brought up this example of rain, that one day he was sitting with his son and it started to rain. And then his son just randomly piped up. He said, "You know what? You know what, Dad? You know what? Do you know why I think God created rain?" And the missionary was like, "Why, son?" "Because I don't believe God made things to die." So, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've experienced, you might feel like you're dying and getting rained on. But the fact that it's raining on you at all just shows you that God's preparing you for the growth that's about to happen in your life. So, Jeremiah 29:11-14, to put it through the lens of Scripture, says this. So follow along with me. This is again Jeremiah 29. I'm going to begin in verse 10 through verse 14. "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years has been completed for you in Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring back to you to you to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. And I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place I sent you into exile. So the cool part about this is that, Jerusalem didn't get taken over by the Assyrians. But later, through Jeremiah, we see that it's through Babylon that Jerusalem gets captured. And we see here now in the scripture that even through all of that death and getting exiled from your hometown and from your city, that God still indeed had a plan. That his plan, though, he allowed, in Isaiah chapter 36, we see that God's plan was for Judah to be taken over, and not Jerusalem at that time because of King Hezekiah and his godliness. But even in the midst of struggle and pain, and again, it's easy in hindsight before pain and after to understand that God has a good plan. But we see throughout Scripture and in our lives that when life gets chaotic and we don't understand what's going on, we can put our trust in the Lord. That, again, I might not understand or like what's going on, that I can put my full trust in Him. Let's put it into perspective of my son, right? All I want him is to be my buddy. And for him to want to do things with me. This is all God wants from us. For us to be his buddy. For us to do things with him. For us to go to him when things are bad. Because he understands. Two beautiful pictures of God's original good creation and God's new glorious creation lies in a world that has been devastated by sin and suffering. So from the beginning when God created the earth and everything in Eden and then us himself, these two pictures have been devastated by sin and suffering and death. Thinking about this shifts our attention from the heavenly to the earthly, from God's grand master plan to its, oh, excuse me, I'm jumping my notes here. So God's creation lies in a world that has been devastated by sin, destruction, and death. Thinking about this shifts our attention from the heavenly to earthly, from God's master plan to its fulfillment through redemption. When our first parents fell to sin, they plunged the world into a catastrophe that plagued us ever since. Sin has just plagued us ever since. But in spite of this, God's purposes continue to move towards fulfillment. Initially through Abraham and then the people of Israel, then finally, the supremely, through God's Son. So what is this? So what does this mean? That no matter what, it has been God's plan from the beginning to see us in heaven with him, for us to be his kids, for you to be a part of not just his family, but also helping grow his family. People are brought into God's kingdom and not by... People are brought into God's kingdom not by their good works, but by God's grace alone. His completely unwarranted, undeserved mercy and love toward us. So, ladies and gentlemen, not only is God on the throne in heaven, and he does indeed have a plan. That plan is for your good and for your benefit, even the bad. Believe it or not, it was part of God's plan for Assyria, to take over Judea. Because they had allowed themselves to come out of line of God's plan and destiny for their lives. And it was also a part of God's plan to save Jerusalem when the godly king got on his knees and his face before the Lord. And this brings me to my final point. It is up to me to activate and walk in those plans. Now, God has good plans, and he is indeed in charge. But ladies and gentlemen, he is not going to force his will down our throats. It's not. No one forced you to this church this morning. You came here on your own will. And just like that, it is up to us to get into the car of God's plan. First, we must understand and when it comes to God's plan and us walking it out, that the primary manifestation for God's plan in our life is to change our heart and the character that comes from new birth. So the first primary part of that is for God to change our heart. The process of becoming holy and is in daily life through grateful, spirit-empowered obedience. So this is what it takes for us to be a part of God's plan over time. It's just for us to be filled with God's Spirit and be empowered by obedience. So if we truly want to do God's will and fulfill His plan in our lives, and we ask Him that, He will lead and empower us to do so, for He knows our heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this: "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him." So if we can bring ourselves back to that Isaiah chapter 37, verse 21, shows us the result of King Hezekiah's prayer. God answers him. And then we see in verse 26, we get a glimpse into God's heart, and His plan was to always show Himself strong to Jerusalem. It just finally took the godly king getting on his knees and asking for God's help, for God to, all right, my plan's going to go into motion now. Because you chose to seek me first, I'm going to activate this plan. So, and then we see later in Isaiah chapter 37 that God just takes care of the Assyrian army. Because of the leader. Now, okay, you might not be standing on stage as a pastor, but we're all leaders in some capacity of our homes, of our where we are at our jobs. So what I want to say to you today is to take charge of whatever plan God has placed in front of you. And that begins through actively seeking God's face and His will. That, okay, God has a plan, and He has good plans for me. But again, He's not going to force it down my throat. He's waiting for me to see how much I trust Him. It is up to us to walk in God's purpose and plan. He can't make us walk it out. This is why understanding that not only is He in control, but I can also trust Him that He has good plans for me. All right, as I close, I feel like God wants to walk out these action plans. Because again, it's good to understand that God is in control and that He has good plans. Okay, now it's up to me to walk out those plans. But something that I want you to consider today as you go home is to take these action steps. What will it take, if you are, to get your life back on track for God? If you find yourself out of God's will, make today to get your life back on track with God. Christ's desire is to have 100% of you, not 99.9% of you. God wants 100%. Next is to trust. All God has ever wanted is my trust. And we could put trust in perspective of like turning on the faucet at our homes every single day. When I go to twist that knob to turn on the water, I don't have to think, is this water going to turn on? It just kind of happens, doesn't it? That's the kind of trust that God wants us to have in Him. That I don't have to think about it. It's just second nature. I just know that God's going to act. I might not understand it. I might not know when it happens, but God's going to do something when I go to pray. And lastly, take the next step. Whatever God shows you to take, whatever that next step is, whether it's keep praying or to start praying, do it. If it's to give extra money, do it. We can all go deeper in our trust. And sometimes that trust isn't to sit there and pray, but also to take action whenever God calls us to action. All right. That's all I got. I think I maybe went 25 minutes, but no.
Can we give Pastor Trevor a hand? Thanks.
Sir, love you.
Listen, the ladies are getting ready. We are going to have a special dinner with these guys here, just or a lunch with these guys here in just a moment. Pastor Trevor, if you would, I'd like for you and Alex to come and stand down here for just a minute. I had actually planned on sharing a little bit of something here. I'm not going to give you another sermon, I promise. Okay, But just to let you know, some of what we talked about Wednesday night was about preparing. Our ladies are going to help prepare the food, make sure everything's ready. And I used Wednesday night, I used the scripture of Noah, where God looked at him and said, go and build a boat. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. This is the PAV, Pastor Aaron version. Go and build a boat. Do it this way. And he gave them dimensions and all that kind of stuff. And he had to prepare in order to get that done. God is preparing us as a church, but he's also preparing this couple. He's been preparing this couple for a while now for the steps that they were going to take in ministry. He has been working on Pastor Trevor and teaching him how to be the man of God that he's supposed to be. He has been working on Alex and preparing her for the steps that she's going to be taking in ministry, as well as motherhood and as a wife. The same thing with him, not as far as being a mother, but as being a father. And been preparing them the entire time. And I believe that in the future, you guys are going to have some amazing, amazing stories. This is only the beginning. And I say, of course, we're sad that they're leaving. We hate it. And I want to tie a chain to their neck and make sure they don't go anywhere. But I would not hold them back from the presence of God and from the destiny of God for them. So we don't send you out with sadness in our heart because of you. We're going to miss you, but we send you out with an expectation of great things for God. God is preparing them, but he's also preparing us. He's preparing us for a flood of people that are going to come in here that need us. He's already, and see, God knew what was going to go on with this couple before they even knew, because God started bringing things into place in order so that things would move, transition smoothly. Just so you'll know, Children's Church is not going to suffer because they're not here, because God has already started to put into place things that needed to happen. Those of you that know Brother Vance and Miss Daphne, they are next door with our kids right now teaching a lesson and doing a great job. They are more than qualified. They actually have been working with Pastor Trevor for the past 3 or 4 weeks, to not knowing this was going to happen, but God put things in order. God has a plan. God has a good plan. And he's going to see it through to completion. But before this couple leaves, we want to pray for them. And if someone would do me a favor and let them know in the nursery, I'd like for them to bring Ezra out. Charles, would you do me a favor real quick? Because we're not praying just for Alex and for whoever this guy is, Pastor Trevor. We're not just praying for them. We're praying for Ezra as well. Ezra is everybody's little buddy in here. I love it. He came in this morning, and Pastor Trevor was holding him right here while we were practicing worship. And he has this thing about when he gets excited. He doesn't make any noise, but what he does is he throws his hands up like this, starts shaking them, and he'll do this. He'll go. So he was sitting there worshiping with us, and he just went to town. Hey, little Ez man, what's going on? He wasn't napping, was he? Okay. Well, he's bringing you to Dada. Yeah, there we go. He wants mama. Hey, buddy. Are you excited? Yeah, he's excited for mama. But listen, if you would, I'd ask for everyone to stand with me today. And I want you to stretch your hands out towards these guys. And we're going to pray for these guys. Ezra, you want to pray? You want to pray? Let's pray. Stretch your hands out towards them. Let's pray for them. Father God, we thank you for this couple. We thank you for this young man with a destiny that is going to shock us all. We thank you that you are guiding them and directing them in their path as they go forward. I pray that the Spirit of God would use them mightily wherever they go and wherever you decide to plant them at. I pray that you would send anointing over them, wisdom over them, and that you would give them favor. I pray that, Lord, you would provide when things seem like they're at their darkest. I pray for the light of Jesus Christ to pour over them and to use them mightily in the name of Jesus. We thank you for our time together with them, but we send them out with the expectation of incredible things for the future. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we give these guys a hand? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, the little man will steal the show if you ain't careful. What I ask for the church today is this. We ask that you keep our leadership, our deacons, in your prayers as we make decisions as we move forward. We ask you to pray for unity of mind, unity of heart, and unity of purpose. And we ask you to cover Pastor Trevor and Alex and Ezra in your prayers as well, that God would guide them and direct them in their path, that he would open the doors of favor for them, and that God would use them greatly wherever God decides to take them. In Jesus' name. Do you agree to do that, church? Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.